Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
Good afternoon on this Memorial Weekend, Saturday, May 28, 2022. This is Mike Rickard with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're powered by RadioSt.Pete.com on the Tantalk family of stations, and we're also streaming on both their platforms. In fact, we got our own channel today on RadioSt.Pete.com, and we'll talk more about that and a launch that's going to take place in the next 30 days. Very exciting news on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Just think Champa Bay. We're going to have Champa Bay sports covered extensively on RadioSt.Pete.com and the Tantalk family of stations. And I'm live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right here in the heart of Champa Bay. It is game day. And I tell you what, at 4:10, Yankees and Rays across the street. The Eastern Division leading New York Yankees. We're down. We need to win today and tomorrow for a push in the series, because obviously we lost last night 2-0 and lost the first one 7-2, and need a big win today over at the Trop. Sold out today. Sold out tomorrow. If you like crowds, you like energy and excitement, come on down downtown. Get down here now and try to get yourself a parking spot. It's going to be absolutely Champa Bay, if you will, and a lot of Yankee fans. Come on down, wear your Rays gear, and encourage them. And this place will probably have about 2,500 down here today at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 13th and Central, where they've been celebrating sports for 29 years. And as I said, I'm actually in my, well, not outside, as we have been for almost 18 months. Decided to take the show up to my office. It's a little less distracting, not as hot, and I've been a little under the weather. But the show must go on, and we're going to have a great show, as we like to talk positive. From the peewees to the preps to the pros, and we have preps and pros variety in the next 2 hours. We're going to talk to Cody Montgomery. He's the head football coach of the Osceola Warriors. He just got done with spring ball. I like to talk spring football, being from Iowa, because it's something I'm not familiar with the exception at the collegiate level, at the high school level. They play one game, and so we'll talk to Cody. He and his gang have been down here, I think about late November last year, Osceola. And then we're also going to talk to Northeast Vikings head coach Sean Davis. They had a superb season last year. Talk about their spring football. He'll be in the house. And they've been down here before, and they got a lot of kids going to play collegiately, and he's doing a superb job with the Vikings. Second hour, Randy Grimes, former Baylor Bear, 10-year starter for the Tampa Bay Bucks, and author of the book Off Center. It's a superb read. I've got a copy right here in my right hand in my office here, and Randy will join us, and then we'll have another author, and it's very appropriate because of the fact that the Yanks are across the street. Peter Golub is going to join us. He wrote The Bronx Zoo, Wild High and Tight, best-selling baseball author, The Death of Billy Martin, Seven, the Mickey Mantle novel, George, the poor little rich boy who built the Yankee empire, alluding to George Steinbrenner, of course, and that's the show, jam-packed today, and looking forward to it. Let's recognize our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio affiliates. Our flagship, of course, is WTAN 106.1 FM up in Clearwater, St. Pete, and AM 1340, WZHR AM 1400 and 104.3 FM, WDCF AM 1350 and 102.3 FM. By the way, you can hear Lightning and Rays on both of those stations. Lightning and Rays on both stations. Of course, the Lightning's advancing after sweeping the Florida Panthers this past week, and looking forward to their advancing and their attempt to three-peat in the Stanley Cup. You can hear us from Brooksville to the Sunshine Bridge, all of Pinellas County, Tampa to Lakeland, and north to Zephyr Hills, and as I mentioned, streaming live. And then our Hoovy.tv. We archive a two-minute sports update that I do each and every day. It's on Sunshine 96.7, the entire Tantalk family of stations, about 7 a.m. And just a snapshot of what's going on in the world of sports from a national perspective. Throw in some local. We're going to start mixing it up. 1 minute of local high school and local college coverage, and then give you a little snippet of the national stuff to get you out the door. And about 8:15 on 96.7 FM and RadioSt.Pete.com. So that's our 2 minute sports update. Can be heard on all of those channels. And we archive it on Hoovy.tv, where these shows are also archived each and every week. And that's our partners over in Orlando. Let's talk about the last night. We've got Oscar Garner III coming on board a little bit later on with Ben Botham. Those are my two young proteges that will be taking over the airwaves many times in the future for me. And we'll talk a little Rays baseball with Ben Botham, and we'll talk a little NBA with the Big O. Technical difficulty. The old man dropped his phone. I'm by myself. As I said, I'm in my office on the third floor watching the parade of people. You should see all the Yankee gear coming in already. People with Yankee gear. We've got to get the Rays fans down here. I typically help out with these, but I'm gonna minimize that and not spread my little germs around today. However, I usually work these events. I enjoy them. And it's just basically sitting people, helping Mark Ferguson, my good friend, get everybody situated, examine where the day is flowing. But I like to do just an analysis of the ratio, Yankees to Rays fans, Red Sox to Rays fans. And unfortunately, it's not even close typically. We've got to change that trend here, and Fergs is the perfect place to do it because this is home of the Rays for each and every game. Watch parties, you name it, we take care of our locals. And next week, if you love the Bolts, and you can't, Amelie is a tough ticket these days. If you can't get to the game, which very few people can, come down to Fergs. This place is an absolute blast, and now we have a huge screen out back, and there'll be Bolts watch parties for the entire length of the trip to the Stanley Cup, and I'm projecting they win. Let's take a look at some of the things today. If you come down, you'll want to watch a little baseball. Oh, by the way, Rangers and Hurricanes, Game 5. That's one we'll be watching closely because you got the Hurricanes and Rangers, and the winner of that will take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't think there's any other games that are notable right now. We're watching everything closely in the East. It's early in the year. It's on Memorial Weekend. And by the way, God bless all of you veterans out there that have contributed and given your service, and the ones that have lost their lives in these troubling times. Of course, we know what took place down in Texas. Just keep in mind how blessed we are to be in America and to hug and tell your loved ones that you love them every day. I could talk for an hour on that topic, but everyone else has beat it to death, and it's just sad. Remember, I'll take care of all the business before we get Cody Montgomery on. Remember to listen to Sunshine 96.7 FM. That's the Bay's local music leader. Probably 1,200 local artists right now. And it's grown at an incredible rate. Our partner's Jay Kolb, the man with the plan and music director. We've partnered down here at Ferg's, where he's been bringing live music to Central Avenue for years and going to continue to. And there is a ton of it down here if you love local music. And this weekend, I think that, yeah, this weekend they've got a live event on RadioSt.Pete.com if you love live music. And they're having I think it's called Barge Fest. And it's over by John's Pass. And it's a concert on a barge, and there's going to be a lot of people coming up in their boats, and it looks really cool. And that's one of the reasons we're on a different channel on RadioSt.Pete.com. As I mentioned, you're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We partnered with Hoovy Media Group, their headquarters in Orlando. It's Finish for Fun. Hoovy delivers fun, and through their video streaming platform, their attitude is sports meet lifestyles, and we are part of that, and we're going to continue to do that. We have our own Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection channel. We'll start video streaming as soon as the interns and Oscar get set up. We'll start doing that here in June. Andy DeLay from Burning Rubber Radio has joined our team, and he's putting the pedal to the metal. And I look forward to that announcement and one we're making with Radio St. Pete down the road as well. And if you've got anything that you want on Hoovy, broadcast. You can email me at mike@myhoovy.com, mike@myhoovy.com. And again, that's where sports meet lifestyles. Let's go over the standings while I get a hold of Cody Montgomery, the Osceola High School coach, and come on and talk a little bit about his spring football. And then all these camps, these coaches, they go right into 7-on-7. It blows me away. Yankees on top, as I mentioned, in the East. Unfortunately, 6 now after last night's game over the Rays. They got the Minnesota Twins, 4.5 in the Central. You got Houston Astros, 2.5 on top of the Los Angeles Angels. And then in the NL, you've got the Mets, 7.5 on top of Atlanta. I don't see the Mets holding on to that. Atlanta is solid and may repeat. Milwaukee, the Brew Crews, 4.5 on top of St. Louis in the Central. And the Los Angeles Dodgers are 2 up in the West over San Diego Padres. And the best record in baseball is right across the street at 4-10 today, and that was with the New York Yankees. Well, let's talk high school football, a little prep conversation, positive prep conversation. And he comes to us right now, and he is Cody Montgomery. How are you, Cody?
Good. How are you doing, Mike?
Great, my man. How's what do you got planned for the Memorial weekend?
Just took my son to the zoo.
Wow, you're a good papa.
Yeah, heading back right now. So,
let's talk about spring ball. I've been talking to several coaches. I enjoy doing it because being from up north, spring high school football isn't something that we talk about, obviously. But it's huge down here. How many practices do you have? And I believe you only have one game. Is that right?
Yes, sir. So you're allotted 20 days, essentially, and that includes your spring game and anything else you do in between. We were fortunate last year to be a part of the Suncoast Refs Association and their scrimmage last year, which CCC and Hollins and a few other teams, did that this year. So you definitely have some great opportunities throughout spring to develop your guys and put in your base packages both on offense and defense and evaluate your talent, because essentially this is our start to fall football. So
a lot of people think, well, spring ball is over and you guys are going to go sit on the beach for a while and relax and take it easy. It's nonstop in the state of Florida from a high school perspective, isn't it? I mean, you're never done 12 months out of the year talking football, working on your team's future in 2022 for the fall. Talk about the other things that are demanding. You got 7-on-7. You got camps. You got preparations, and then you start in August.
Yes, sir. That's all definitely factored in there. I'll have quite a few guys that we go on the road and start doing some visits to the colleges and have the opportunity to perform in front of college coaches and show what they can do and if they're worthy of a scholarship offer. From the 7-on-7s, USF's been doing one forever. I mean, when I was in high school, the sling and shoot and I think most Bay Area teams are normally a part of that. FCA's put a pretty good one on, as they do it on Buck Place.
Yeah, I heard that's an excellent one.
Yeah, and they do a great job of just, letting the kids have a great opportunity and experience and putting teams in pool play, and ultimately competing. And then kind of what you said, that was pretty much the start of our fall spring football. And then, it carries through summer as, we'll go for 8 straight weeks. And then we'll have a 2-week introduction back into pads and then we're, 11 straight weeks. So,
hey, does Steve Young run that FCA 7-on-7? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's a heck of a great guy. I got to get him on to promote that, all that he's done in the world of high school sports over here, and was a great athlete in his own right.
Oh, yeah, awesome job, and like I said, they're first class with what they do and how they perform, and those guys always stop by and drop off like a cooler Gatorade star guy, so very thankful for that organization.
Hey, let's talk about your 2022 lineup. What you saw this spring, how you did in your spring game. Who are going to be some of your leaders? Who'd you return? Let's go over that.
So probably one of the more exciting pieces on the offensive side is we're returning both running backs from last year, and they, between the two of them, they accounted for 2,500 yards, both receiving and running the football. And that's Nate Carter and Ivan Brown. You know, between those two, like they're definitely going to be the workhorses for our offense, which will open things up for our new quarterback, Owen Hinote. You know, the great part for Owen and is that he's going to have the opportunity to have returning wide receivers as well and tight ends. You know, the cool part about spring, again, is you get to try guys and kind of push the puzzle pieces in different places. And, you know, we emerged with two really great tight ends. So we're going to run a lot more two tight end packages this year as we did in the spring game. And we just had a ton of success out of it. And like I said, we've got quite a few returning receivers that are really going to help us. And then flipping over on the defensive side,
I got one question, two questions.
Yeah,
it sounds like I got some superb skill position, wide receiver and running back. How are you looking on the interior line? And what about the guy that's taking the snaps to get the rock to these kids and make your offense a little more diverse with a good run pass balance?
Yeah, of course. The offensive line, you know, we graduated three guys last year, so we got a lot of young guys. The great part is I think this line has had more opportunity to work longer together just because they've been growing up together and played together as young Bulldogs, you know, which is a great opportunity for us as a team and for our running backs to run behind these five guys. Just because, again, they've been blocking together forever. You know, that definitely, you could tell when we're in practice, and we implemented a couple new things that we stole this offseason from going to clinics from Coastal Carolina on how we're going to block certain things. And experimenting with it this spring, like we fell in love with it because holes are bigger and, you know, that always makes the job a little easier for running backs. So those guys are doing a tremendous job. And as for the guy taking the snaps, you know, he's one of our top five fastest kids on the team. So we're going to...
He's fastest, you said?
Yep.
Oh, my. And, yeah. Well, if your line doesn't evolve, at least he's got the quicks to stay elusive enough to get the ball to that talented wide receiver core and your tight ends, right?
Yeah, and we're gonna definitely roll him out of the, again, you utilize what his assets are and let him get out of the pocket a little bit more this year and you know, give him some opportunities to use his feet as well. You know, just looking forward to what he's gonna offer and how he'll, you know, help to lift up those guys around him as he gets them the ball. So
All right. Now I got that answered. Let's talk about the defensive side, as you were going to do.
So the great part about our defense is that we started a lot of young linebackers last year.
Is the Moore kid still with you?
Which one?
Jim's son. I can't think of his last name right now. Little blondie, tough kid. I think he's a sophomore, going to be a junior wrestler, too.
Oh, shoot. Nate Carter.
Yes. Thank
yeah,
you.
He's one of the running backs.
Yeah. Nate.
Yeah, he's going to have a lot of success this year, as he did last year. And, you know, be definitely some great opportunities for him to on the football field, as you know, he got a little dinged up in the spring and wasn't able to play in our spring game. But he before that, he was having a great spring and a great spring weightlifting as well. As he, you know, just being a sophomore and 16 years old, he power cleaned, I think it was 275.
Holy moly. Yeah, his Proud Papa Jim, and I'm sorry that the name escaped me, his Proud Papa Jim, and I talk quite often. I live on the beach, and he works down there, and he's humble about it, but he says, you know, Nate's come a long way from a strength and conditioning perspective. Well, and he's already a tough guy. He's a wrestler, too. I said, those college coaches will start knocking on your door here pretty soon there, Jim.
Yeah, and he's like I said, he has a little minor injury right now that he's trying to rehab and get back, but he's definitely going to be allotted some opportunities as he moves forward.
He got speed in the defensive back on the cornerback side, which is essential down here in Florida, without a shadow of a doubt, especially in your district.
Yeah, we're probably not the fastest defense I've ever had, but we definitely have some kids. We got a free safety that can do everything. And, you know, every time I talk to a college coach, they mention this kid, because our free safety can, you know, basically cover the whole field, and he'll come downhill and smack you too. And he had a fabulous spring, and you know, I'm excited to see him attack this summer. But we also, you know, we had a fight for one of the corner positions this year, as we lost one of our senior corners, and the other corner we have a returner locking that down, and that did a tremendous job for us last year. So those guys on the back end have done a great job, as we saw in the spring, an air raid team. So again, we had a couple guys step up in that game and did a great job for us. So
you're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. This is our Prep Connection segment brought to you by Hoovy.tv, where sports meet lifestyles. We're talking Osceola Warrior head coach, Cody Montgomery, and, talk about the one spring game that you guys had.
So, again, the beauty of having a spring game is it's not always, you know, we're on the losing side of it, losing 28-26.
That's motivation, and it's close enough that you can use that as fuel for the summer.
Yeah, and not having either one of our running backs, like I said, the last year that accounted for 2,500 yards, you know, we definitely, you know, we're able to capitalize on throwing the football, and we ran the football well with young guys. So, you know, we had we actually put our slot receiver, who's going to be a sophomore this year, at running back, and Nate Gooden, and he did a tremendous job at running back for us. And you know, just showed us we have a third running back, you know, for the future. And
coach, I got an idea, an old man. You got speed at the quarterback position. You got three running backs. Go back to the bone, man, the wishbone. Shock the district. All of a sudden, Osceola comes out with the bone on a couple of goal line stands.
That's right. We actually, you know, you'll like this. We actually had a couple formations last year that were old bone formations, and definitely when we got inside the 20, we, you know, we definitely ran the football out of those formations. So,
and the defensive coordinator, remember the Titans, is looking at it and goes, "Who the hell do they think they are, Oklahoma?" yeah, that. Well, the beauty of it, you've got a lot of diversity. Who were you guys playing in that spring contest?
We played Lakewood Ranch. It's my former school, and one
wow.
of my.
That's no small feat playing them in a close game, 28-26. My gosh, they're a solid program.
Yeah, I actually was part of that. Well, I have coached on two different stints with the head coach there, so he and I are really good friends. And we just, you know, loved the opportunity to be able to play each other and you know, just be able to talk about what we saw, you know, in each other's defense and offense. And it was just a great opportunity, and, you know, got to, you know, something that Pinellas County kids don't always get to experience with the, you know, the charter buses and that whole, you know, opportunity to drive a little further and play somebody. So, especially down in Manatee County.
Well, and it's no secret, you know, Lakeland Ranch is highfalutin, if you will. I got one of my better friends lives down there. His son played football there. Murphy's his last name. And
okay.
Yeah, Jay Murphy supported the program quite a bit. But so he briefed me on, you know, as I say, unfortunately, in this area, there's not a lot of parity from a financial perspective. And that gives them, that opens their eyes a lot. But the fact that they can compete against them, I think that's that says a lot too.
Yeah, and we definitely had some opportunities to close the game away or to run away with it. And you know, we let them, we had the lead at halftime, and we just let them kind of creep back, and you know, made a couple mistakes, and you know, and ultimately they came out on top. But like I said, I mean, the biggest thing for spring for us is being able to, you know, find opportunities for guys and see guys step up. And we definitely had some linebackers and a couple defensive linemen. You know, we found our interior guys this spring. You know, we're led it up front with one of our 330-pound interior linemen.
What?
Raymond Lewis.
What'd you say?
330-pound interior lineman.
Holy moly! You take up the whole side of one offensive line in some schools.
Right, right.
Has he got much mobility?
Yes, and he anchored the interior pretty well. And we have a defensive end that definitely took the next step as he's going to start, you know, having some opportunities as well to continue playing out of Brian Rodriguez, and you know, and then just kind of flowing into the linebacker position, you know, just seeing those, like I said, we had three linebackers that were sophomores starting for us, and all three of those guys took that next step during the spring, and so it's pretty exciting to just kind of see how the spring went, and you know, definitely gives us opportunities for when we approach the fall.
Before I let you go and spend a great weekend with the family, let's go back to your 2021 team. And I met a lot of those kids down here, and I appreciate you bringing them down. We'll get you guys down again. Any of them have the opportunity to advance as student athletes at the collegiate level?
Yeah, we had. So I'm glad you brought that up. You know, in the last 2 years, we've had seven guys sign and continue to play football.
Bravo.
Four of those guys that you got to talk to are continuing to play college football. So, awesome opportunities.
Well, one of the things we're going to launch here this summer is the Prep Connection. We're going to focus on all the public schools in the Tri-County area. It will be a separate production. But I also, and I had done this up north, we're gonna follow them post high school careers, and I believe that the families will appreciate that, and we'll be able to assemble. So I'll be getting a hold of all the coaches, wanting to know what kids went where, and that's a testament that you're building a program there, Ryan. And I look forward to following you guys and having you down next fall.
Yeah, same. And if you need any guys' numbers or contact information, just let me know. And as we got a lot of good guys here in Pinellas County, and you know, I think all of us could band together and say we definitely appreciate any time our kids get some opportunities.
Well, we're gonna bring a lot of them, and I will be getting a hold of all you guys and asking you for contact information. So have a great Memorial Weekend. I'm proud of you as a father. going to the zoo, because it's gonna be a zoo down here. I can tell you right now, and it's starting to get that way with the Yanks and Rays at 4:10. But at least you went to an actual zoo.
Oh yeah.
All right, my man. Appreciate you taking time out. Have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. Have a good one. Thank you.
You bet. Cody Montgomery, and just a nice young man, and looking forward to covering those guys. And now we're going to, as I get ready to give this gentleman a call. I like these coaches that are right on time. I'm about 3 minutes late, and Sean Davis is texting me and wondering, you know, where my old carcass is at. But we are going to be covering the high schools and preps a lot more. And right now we're going to talk, as I just got done with Osceola Warrior head coach Cody Montgomery. I'm going to go to Sean Davis, and Sean was kind enough to bring the gang down, the Vikings down, this past, about 2-3 months ago, and he's with me right now. How are you, my man?
Good, sir. What's going on?
Well, I'm actually just sitting up in my office today. I was battling a little flu bug. I didn't figure you'd want to sit, you know, 3 feet away from me, and I didn't want the kids in here, but it's going to be crazy. You love Fergs. It's going to be crazy down here today, so stay away.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got the Yankees, you got the Rays across the street, and I can always already see the Yankee nuts. I shouldn't say that. I used to be a Yankee fan. Coming in, so you're in a safer place on this Memorial Weekend, and I appreciate you taking time to come on. Let's talk about your spring practices and your game and what you saw, what you got accomplished. I just asked Ryan over at Osceola the same thing. It gives you a chance to take a look at your kids, and you got what, 20 practices?
Yes, sir. We got in 20 practices. We did it 4 weeks. We took the weekends off. We just went Monday through Friday, basically. We had graduation Thursday, so we kind of did a run-through last Friday before the game. So, yeah, we did 20 practices.
Now, you know, and of course, your son's playing up at Iowa State. We've talked about that. We talked to him on the air. We're not accustomed to spring football, as I've been telling all the coaches down here, because you don't have it in Iowa. But it's an integral, very integral part of you guys preparing for the 2022 fall season, because everybody is spot on. It's examination of the kids that are replacing your seniors that graduated. And what did you see from your kids? And let's talk about on the offensive side. Who you got coming that's going to be making an impact in 2022?
Yeah, you guys had Evan earlier this year. Evan is a transfer quarterback from St. Pete. He actually just played that red and white game 2 weeks ago. He was ineligible to play in the spring game last week, but I think we look forward to him having a big, big, big year. We'll probably be a little more, like, we was a little more athletic at the quarterback position last year because we had a three-star defensive back who took on probably 75% of the snaps. So we're probably going to throw the ball around a little bit. You know, we're going to try to get our kids in space. Evan's a good passer. We got some O-line. We got three returning guys. We got two starters that came back. And we look good there in the passing game. We got to work on some run game stuff with our O-line. We got first back, Hersig back, and Roscoe back. Roscoe played a little center last year and at some critical times in the playoffs. So we got three guys with some experience, and we just trying to bring the other guys along.
How are your numbers? How many kids do you have out?
I saw the numbers grow because, you know, in 2020, due to COVID, we did not have a JV. That's the first year I was at Northeast coaching. I was doing the defense. Last year was the first season we had a JV this past year. So last spring, being a class short, we probably had probably about just 30 kids out.
Wow.
This year we started out with about 50, and of course after the triumph starts and ends, we probably ended up with we got 40 something. We dressed 40 something against East Lake. We played the varsity we played the upperclassmen the first three quarters, and we played mostly the upcoming 10th graders, the 9th graders, in the fourth quarter.
Uh, t- Talk about that game, and what you saw on your team, and you played. Would you say it was East Lake?
Yeah, we played East Lake. We played East Lake High School. The final score, I believe, was 36-34, East Lake. East Lake beat us in the spring game, but bigger than that is when you get up, when you play in the spring, like you say, it's just guys you look for. You work on your fundamentals. You work on your technique. You know, they had kids out. We had kids out. But bigger than that, you just want to see what guys you could put in well. So when you start, when you start the fall season, you won't go. We had some guys step up and make some plays. Angel Negron on the defensive side, KJ Hutchinson, Derek Brantley had a couple big plays. We had a guy, kid play from St. Pete Catholic. He was able to play due to hardship reasons. Timothy, TJ, he came over from St. Pete Catholic. He's being recruited very highly. So I was able to take some things. You know, I know we need to work on our special teams. We'll need to work on our timing in the passing game and the blocking scheme in the passing game. And we did suffer a key injury, but the kid may be back. My athlete, Marquise Northley, he has a cracked fibula, and he's going to come back probably during the season. So he had surgery this week. It was successful, and you know, and we got some young guys that could run it, so we just try to, and we just gonna, you know, we have those guys plugged in, get them some experience and some confidence, and we'll be on go, sir.
We're talking to Sean Davis. He's the head football coach of the Northeast Vikings. This is our Sports Thread Prep Connection segment, and in fact, Sports Thread, this is something you should look into, Sean, for some of your kids. Supporting growth and new sports integrity, get a hold of Logan at sportsthreadsfl.com. That's Sports Thread, Logan at sportsthreadsfl. It's kind of like an Instagram, Sean, for, as I divert for a second, it's kind of like an Instagram for kids and coaches to post positive video. Go to Sports Thread sometime and look at it. It doesn't cost a dang thing, and I'm very impressed. My partners over in Orlando are involved in it, and it's something for parents and coaches and kids where they can examine athletes, and it's pretty cool. But speaking of that, let's talk about your 2021 graduating class. You know, I see in your Facebook posts, a lot of college coaches roaming the halls over there at Northeast and meeting with you. How many of your young Vikings are fortunate enough next year to participate as student athletes at the collegiate level? Because I know that's a big goal of yours. As you build a program, the kids will want to come to Sean Davis's program because he builds young men that can advance their careers, kind of like your own son did.
Yes, sir. So, of course, we got D'Angelo. He's in Louisville. He's in Louisville now.
Okay, he's going to be a Cardinal. Yep.
Yeah, he left yesterday. He's getting acclimated in summer school, and you know, and they got all the freshmen coming in. So he has a chance to compete. His coach came by, Coach Mark Ivey. He's the defensive line guy at Louisville. He recruits the area. So D'Angelo's at Louisville. We got Stephen Beth, who was my offensive lineman. He's going to be attending the Citadel.
Impressive.
Yeah, from South Carolina. We got another old lineman, the center, Franklin Miller. He's going to be going to Lawrence University.
Where?
In Wisconsin. Lawrence.
Is a yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. You know, being from Iowa, I know Lawrence is that. Well, good for
yes,
him.
Sir.
Tell him to get a hold of your son so they can get some wardrobe input on how to dress coming from Florida, because your son went through that shock at Iowa State.
Definitely. And we have another kid. We have a linebacker, Joe Perry. He's going to Capital. He's going to Capital University in Columbus, Ohio. And we may have another kid signed late. Like we had those other three kids, I think, signed on the late signing day after I attended the small college there. I think D'Angelo signed on signing day. So we have four in all, and we're working on the fifth one who's going to be attending Capital Two, Jalen Williams. He was our defensive end wide receiver. I mean, Jalen Anderson. He was number seven. He had a big year for us last year. So he's most likely going to Capital Two. Word I heard from him this week. So we're looking to have five, but we have four signed and sealed, ready to go right now. And, you know, with this transfer portal, I just talked to a close friend of mine, with this transfer portal, it's all over the place. So colleges wait later to make moves, you know, later than sooner now.
Well, and that bodes well for you. And it's very impressive, you know, your background of mentoring kids. And let's talk on a personal note for a second. What's going on in your son's world up there in God's country in Ames as he gets ready for another season with the Cyclones?
Yeah, like you said, you probably saw from my Facebook post. He's doing well. He's doing well at safety. He just had to learn, you know. And I told him this in high school, and he mentioned it in the interview. I went up to a spring game like last month. They just had an intra-squad scrimmage. He was here for a week. He went back home. He went back up to Ames last week. The transition is good. He's really filled out at 22 now. He's keeping weight on. He's over 200 pounds. I think he's about 6'1". So we're looking for a big year. He just had to slow down and read the field. You know, a corner, it happens quick, especially in that boundary.
Oh.
Ball's out quick. Now he's on the field side safety, which is a big part of that defense, and he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to do what he got to do there.
Well, I'm sure you're happy, and they've had success there. And Coach Matt Campbell, you know, many programs came sniffing around trying to pull him away. And I bet your son and a lot of the kids on the roster were pleased that Coach Campbell stuck around. And I know that they're down here recruiting a lot to Iowa State now, aren't they?
Yes. They were here a couple weeks ago. Like I said, my corner, T.J. Marshall, they offered him. He's about 6'2". He's going to be a junior. I look for him to have a big year at the corner spot for us. He may play a little free safety too until Marquise get back. So yeah, they were down here. We had Jackson State come. Dion's OC.
Tell Dion to come down and see you. Doesn't he know who Sean Davis is?
Yeah.
Tell him to get down to Northeast and say hey.
Yes, sir. But I guess the word travels fast. He said they heard about me, so the OC came in. Like I said, Louisville came through. Of course, South Florida, some other schools came through. Bethune-Cookman. It's working. You know, the kids were happy. They were able to see that. You know that it's a chance. So when there's a chance, then kids usually buy in and they try harder. So that's what we're searching for.
I'm proud of you because you know you just took over the reins. You had a nice career as assistant, but you take over the reins over there at Northeast, the Vikings, and you want to build, you know, the Sean Davis program. And these kids, I could see when he came down, everybody relates to you. You got a great young staff. Well, first of all, let's go to 7-on-7. You got 7-on-7, and then you go to 2-a-days. And then who do you open up with?
Yeah, so during the summer, in 7-on-7, we do the state one, put on by the FHSAA. That's in the villages. So we see, like, every team. I think that's good exposure for our guys.
You're in the villages?
In the villages.
Bunch of old people like me watching you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and we also going to do the one at USF, Sling and Shoot. That's only a day. We're going to be there the 16th of June. We're going to be at the Villages the 24th and 25th. First week of August, we start 2-a-days. We got Calvary Christian at Northeast for the kickoff classic. And we open up going to Lakewood High School for week one.
Wow.
So that's going to be big, yeah.
That's huge. You better have that 40-strong roster ready to rock and roll, my friend.
No doubt.
That's a tough start to the season, but if anybody can get it done, it's you. And I appreciate you coming on board. And you and I will be talking about some future things. We'll get the kids down here. Well, you've got them assembled a lot of the summer, so we can still get them down this summer. They can have some of those Ferg's wings, and I know you're a big fan of the place. So I'll talk to you soon, and we'll get you down here in person, and we'll have some fun with the kids too, okay?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I appreciate your time, and you feel better.
I will, brother. Have a great Memorial weekend. And he's Sean Davis, the head football coach at Northeast High, the Vikings. He's building a program, young man, kind of like I'm trying to build a team of young guys. I've got the big O, Oscar Garner III. I should have brought up your pops. He's got a kid that's going to Louisville, going to be a Cardinal. Your dad played some baseball there.
Go Cards.
Back in the day. And then I got Ben Botham back in the house. Well, we're actually in the house.
Yeah, we're in the house today.
It's easier to do a show here.
Oh, yeah, I like it up here. It's nice. Air conditioned
setting.
It is. So I've got to rethink this whole process. I mean, for big events, and today would be a big event, and I would be out there if I had a little more get up and go, but, you know, I'm old. I'd like to be in the midst, down and the perch out front, you know, mm-hmm. with all these, you guys saw all the Yankees going in. And as I said, it's probably a 3-1 ratio Yankees to Yankees to Rays, unfortunately, gear. And I used to, you know, normally I'd be down there working after the show. And I enjoy it. I have a lot of fun because I grew up a Yankees fan, but I'm kind of, you know, sliding across the street for obvious reasons. But how are you? Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You got your graduate degree?
Yeah, my master's in public history.
Damn, I got all this knowledge in front of me. Michigan State School of Business. You got a graduate degree.
Mm-hmm.
I stumbled, fumbled, and bumbled. Kept a 2.0 just so I could keep playing sports. And I also, you know, bartended. You got to bartend to meet the gals and drive the fancy car that you don't need. I was a real genius. Anyway, so how you been?
Oh, been great. You know, I'm happy to be back in Florida. You know, nothing better. Georgia was getting a little hot and humid for me. I was ready to get down here.
You came down.
It's a better hot and humid.
Well, I know that because in Iowa, and you know this in Michigan, in the summers, it gets, you know, brutally humid. People don't believe it, but it does, but not at night. But that's mm-hmm. the reality. Well, welcome back, and looking forward to get you involved. And we've got 5 or 6 projects that we need to talk about in the coming week. But did he tell you from Detroit, Celtics mm-hmm. fan? Did he?
Yeah, he mentioned that. I was a little.
He's a bandwagon confused. Rider.
Oh.
So then I said, "Are you a Lions fan?" He's been here 4 months.
Number one Bucks fan.
Yes.
Number one in the world. Tom Brady's the guy.
He's got the Tom Brady tattoo. TB12 tattoo.
Tell me that's why you moved here, right?
100%. When he moved down.
Oh, yeah.
Brady called me.
You say you tell your folks, I'm moving to Florida. I'm a Tom Brady fan.
I placed across the streets for rent.
I told him over the phone, I'm like, look, your boy Antonio Brown's going to do you dirty. You're going to need somebody to come fill in when he walks off the scene. So he got me down here.
A basketball and baseball player. Yeah, I bet they were really, really looking for you closely, my man.
Yes, following me tightly for the past 2 years.
All right, we're going to talk baseball. Of course, about 1:30, we're going to talk to Peter Gotham. I don't know if you got a chance to Google him at all, but what an interesting guy.
Yeah.
And right up your alley, because you essentially, you probably should author a book eventually.
It's in the works.
Yeah. Let's do your bio, since people haven't heard from you for quite some time, because you're going to be real active all summer long mm-hmm. with us.
So, yeah, most of my studies have been on Negro League baseball in Savannah, Georgia. So we talk about the Negro minor leagues that operated down there. Anywhere from the Bears to the Kilowatts and the teams that played around there. And a lot of guys that came out of Savannah actually went on to play for the Indianapolis Clowns and started their own teams and leagues and even almost broke into the major leagues. But because of their talents and their skills on the field as entertainers, the teams tended to keep them, you know, stuck to their contracts because they were the money makers in the last days of the Negro Leagues. Because going in, integration took away a lot of fans, a lot of traffic going to the stadiums. And that's one of the major things that I talk about in my project and my research that I've been doing. So,
well, the last time I actually saw you was at the Bourbon Baseball and Cigars.
Oh, yeah.
For the Florida Sports Hall of Fame over in Ybor City. And that was a great evening, wasn't it?
Oh, it was wonderful. Wade Boggs was there. Lou Piniella.
I got to talk to Lou, you know, mm-hmm. and you met Clemmie Perry, and Clemmie will be on next week. We'll talk a little bit about her and her father's story. But as I was leaving, Lou was leaving, mm-hmm. and he's got I'm talking about the coolest BMW, and I don't know what series it was. I was just mesmerized. It was late. It was dark. Remember?
Oh yeah.
And the moon was shining on it, the color of it. Mm-hmm. Of course, he had the VIP spot.
Sure.
So we talked a little bit about that, and then my buddy who had been the Yankees physical trainer, Jeff Mangold, for decades. Mm-hmm. They knew each other, so we had a nice conversation. But that was a cool event.
Oh yeah, it was great. And talking about Sweet Lou, when I first got there, I was a little starstruck. I've never
he should have seen him. His eyes were about this big. And I know the feeling. When I first got into the sports world, mm-hmm. you have to teach yourself, hey, these are just cats like you. And the more you look starstruck and fan, they walk away from you.
Yeah.
But you rally quick.
Yeah, I rallied quick, but I was there early because, we're setting up the event, that kind of thing. And I'm the only person that recognizes that Lou Piniella is walking up to the event. And he makes eye contact with me, and he gives me one of these, like, a come here. So I start walking up. I was a pitcher my whole life. I'm thinking I'm getting called in the game. That's what's going on in my head.
He's pulling you out of the bullpen.
And Lou Piniella reaches in his pocket and pulls out his keys, and he says, someone's supposed to park my car. So I'm standing there. I grab him like, I'll figure something out and, pass the keys on. But it was just the funniest thing.
You should have parked it.
I was thinking about it, but I.
I would have parked that baby. Did you even see it?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that sweet?
Yeah, he pulled right up to the front. And
someone's supposed to park my car. You're thinking you're getting your first interview for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection or your own blog. Here we go. Mike was right. I'm going to meet a lot of people. Hey, can you park this car, boy?
Hey, I would have driven that. I would have filled it up with gas. I would have put the ultra premium in there for him.
Hey, I've got it since you just brought that up. I got to tell a great story about parking a car. And you're a historian, so you know, but you're too young to know. A pitcher named Louis Tiant from Cuba. Boston Red Sox and a stint with the Yankees. And as many players did, Wade Boggs did. But we had an event. I used to assist, and I still will, when you guys take this company over. I will assist with the Ted Williams Foundation. And we had an event at the Capitol Theater up in Clearwater, which is a really cool venue. I just saw Boss Gags there the other day. You don't even know who that is. But you'd like Boss Gags. Google him and listen to him. I had to tell this to my sons. Anyway, so it's just a great setting, but the theme was Yankees and Red Sox. I don't know if I've shared this with you before.
No.
And we had four players, and on each side, and then the moderator was the play-by-play, a female play-by-play for the Yankees. Her name is escaping me right now. It'll come to me in a minute. But she was the moderator. It was really cool because in those days, we're talking fist fights, brutal interaction. You're probably aware of this stuff. And so they had four of these guys in their late 60s, 70s. Boggs was there, Goose Gossage, Bucky Dent, Louis Tiant. They'll all come to me in a minute. Anyway, so Louis, I had met him over at the Trop. They had a Hall of Fame thing back in February. And this was like, fast forward another 2 months. He always had his nieces or someone around him. And he still broke, I think intentionally, he spoke broken English. So Dave McCarthy, he's the executive director. He's freaking out because they have a VIP where these guys are all supposed to be there and sign and eat dinner with them. No, Louis. And he's freaking out. We're all suited up.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.